And we're going to talk about praising the Lord and hallelujah, and take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 146 is the text for today's message. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to preach. Josh got a hold of me a few weeks ago and asked me if I was available this Sunday, and I'm a co-preacher at Ira. Doug Couples and I, we worked together on taking care of that little church, and I cleared my calendar so we could be here today. And it's an honor and a privilege to come back and visit and catch up, see how God is working here as well. And so in 2 weeks I start driving school bus again. Please pray for me. I have a special ed route, that's okay, and I do a lot of trips, so I travel around the state of Iowa. So that's coming up. We've had a great summer, a variety of different things we did. Last night, we were up in Allison. I went to my 50th class reunion. Oh, yeah, wow. Kind of a surreal experience, you know? One moment you're talking about the crazy things you did in high school, which is just the day before yesterday, and then the next moment you're talking about what you're doing in retirement. You skip 50 years. And, you know, your whole life, your whole career, you know, raising kids, all that sort of stuff, you kind of skip, you know. And then, you know, you mention your kids in passing, but then you talk about how great your grandkids are. Like, your kids weren't great, but your grandkids are great. It's an interesting experience. I mean, we all have the same personality. All of us guys have less hair. We've got a reclining forehead. And you know, the weird thing about this is the kicker is that we're not near as old as our parents were when they went to their 50th. I mean, nowhere close. I'm pretty sure when my grandparents went to their 50th, they did so in a wheelchair and they took them back to the nursing home. So anyway, I'm saying all that to say that I'm on Medicare and Social Security, and thanks for the opportunity to allow this old guy to preach today. I count it a great privilege. And so, anyway, we're going to spend some time in God's Word today. And so take your Bibles again. If you haven't got there yet, Psalms 146. I know you folks have been in the book of Psalms this summer, and I have too at Ira. And this message is not a repeat. And it's been great. I enjoy the Psalms tremendously. In 2017, I did an in-depth study on the book of Psalms. And then if you follow me on Facebook, every Sunday, I put a Sunday psalm up, a commentary on a Sunday psalm. And today's psalm was Psalm 32. So I enjoy thoroughly the book of Psalms, and so it's always great to get to preach from it. And so today, we're going to look at Psalms 146. And you know the book of Psalms. There's two basic themes that run through it: the greatness of God and man needs to trust God. That's basically the whole idea of the whole book of Psalms. The 150 Psalms is either a prayer to God or a praise of God, or both. Prayer or praise. And there's 150 chapters of vivid, beautiful, poetic, personal, devotional, confessional psalms that touch our hearts in so many different ways. And the prayers in this book are honest, and the praise is passionate. And I hope you enjoy the book of Psalms. There's the shortest chapter in the Bible is chapter 117. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119, 176 verses. And the first chapter in the book of Psalms is the blessedness of the man who trusts God. And the last five chapters in the book of Psalms are all about praise. Psalms 146 through 150, every one of those psalms begins with praise the Lord and ends with praise the Lord. And as we just sung, the word praise the Lord, the phrase praise the Lord means hallelujah in the Hebrew. A simple hallelujah. The word praise in these five psalms is found 44 times. It's a major theme. and I trust it's a major theme in our life as we worship our great God. We're not sure who the authors were of these psalms, but we know that they were familiar with Jewish worship. They had a trust in God, a complete trust in God in each of these psalms. Psalm 46, as we're going to see today, reminds us that God is perfect. Psalms 147 tells us that God is gracious. Psalms 148 reminds us that God is the Creator. Psalms 149 tells us that God is our Savior. And Psalm 150 reminds us that God is great. So let's read Psalms 146. If you'll please stand, it'll be up on the screen here as I read along. Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much. We get to spend time in this great psalm. Thank you that it reminds us of a great privilege we have as we come before you to praise you, to say hallelujah for all the great things you have done for us and the great God that you are. Help us to get a glimpse of your glory as we study this psalm today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your outline there in the back of the bulletin, you can follow along. The first point is first two verses is really a call to praise. Verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, or praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise needs to come from our innermost being. Praise obviously comes from our lips as we worship, but does it come from the depths of our soul? You know, praise must be intentionally felt. There must be some passion behind our praise. It should not be just words. And sometimes, you know, we're really good at going through the motions. You know, we can say the words, we can sing the words, and we can do so at a distance. What the Psalms remind us of is that praise needs to come from our innermost being. Praise the Lord, O my soul. From the depths of our personhood, we need to give praise to God for who he is and for all the great things he has done for us. You know, one of the songs that the Gaithers wrote is, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts before you. Let's just praise the Lord. That's a great theme of our worship services. That should be a great theme of our daily life, where we can look at the circumstances of our life and praise him for what he is doing in our life. You know, some of the great music we sing is about praise. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of lights. When we sing that great hymn, that old hymn, it reminds us that there is joy in our praise. And I didn't look in your hymnal this morning, but a lot of hymnals that have the hallelujah chorus in it, remember the hallelujah chorus George Frederick Handel wrote long, long time ago? In the hymnals that I have at home, if you wanted to sing that song, it's 6 pages long in your hymnal. And I tried to count how many times the word hallelujah is in that hymnal, that hymn. It's at least 50 times. Can you imagine singing that hymn on a congregational morning? Take about 10 minutes. And you're going to say at least 50 times, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The privilege we have of praising God. What does God see when he looks into our soul as we worship? Does he see a heartfelt praise and joy? Does he see enthusiasm? You know, we have many, many, many reasons why we can praise the Lord. You know, our sins have been forgiven. Boy, praise the Lord for that. Our soul has been saved for all of eternity in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. We've been saved from hell. Praise the Lord for that. And we just made it through another week. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 2, the thought is, I will praise the Lord while I live. While I live, while I have my very breath in my soul, the very breath of my body should just say words of praise from our heart. There are 7 personal pronouns in just the first 2 verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is personal. This is not theoretical. This is personal. We get to praise God for who He is, for all the blessings He has bestowed upon us. As long as we have breath in our life here on earth, our life should be lived in praise. We know our soul continues on to eternity. There, perfect praises will be given to our God. But in the meantime, we get to practice here on earth. We get to practice praise. In fact, we even get to sing praises. Singing is a privilege. We just accomplished that this morning with a great hymn and a great praise song. I just bought the book this week. I was at Barnes & Noble. And I bought the book. Put the next screen up, please. The book, The Jesus Music. A few years ago, Jeanette and I saw a movie that was done about the history of the Jesus music that we experience. One advantage of being old is you get to experience stuff long ago. And during the 60s and 70s, the Jesus music was growing. And basically, you can thank the hippies who got saved for the praise and worship music that we have today, really. You can thank artists like Andre Crouch. We almost heard Andre Crouch in concert one time in Minnesota. We went to the venue and it was so crowded we couldn't find a place to sit, so we left. One of the biggest mistakes we made in our life. There was a lot of great artists back then. The Imperials, Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, the group Love Song. Michael W. Smith came out of all of that. Sandy Patty came out of all that. Amy Grant came out of all of that. And a lot of the music that we sing today is a result of the Jesus movement of the 1960s and 1970s. And a number of us lived all that. Kind of controversial back then, you know, bringing praise music with drums and guitars into the church. Gasp. But we survived it all, and there they are. So things have changed. But we can thank those people back then for teaching us again the great honor and privilege we have to simply praise the Lord. Isn't it great? We get to praise the Lord. So the first point of this message, verses 1 and 2, is the call to praise. The next is verses 3 and 4, the catastrophe of trusting people. Well, that should be obvious. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. It should be obvious to us that people are eventually going to let us down. None of us are perfect. We're going to fail. And that theme is repeated in the Psalms. In fact, Psalms 118, let me go back there. Psalms 118 are these two verses. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Those two verses remind us again of what the psalmist in Psalm 146 is saying. You're a whole lot better off trusting God than you are trusting people. Because we're going to let you down. A number of years ago, a long, long time ago, in one of my previous churches, I preached the verse in Psalms 118, verse 8. I preached the verse, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. I preached that message one Sunday morning. And afterwards, one of the gentlemen in the church came up to me and as gently as he could, criticized a decision that I had made. And all that I could do was say, well, you just proved the point of my message this morning. It is better to trust in God than to put your trust in man. And this psalm, again, makes it perfectly clear to us. You know, we're naturally disposed to trust people. You know, we like to trust our family. You know, we like to trust our friends. We like to trust our pastors. We like to trust our teachers. We like to trust the people we work with. But if you've lived life not long enough, you know that it doesn't take long and we're going to let you down. God will never let us down. He is completely trustworthy. There's three good reasons why we should not put our absolute trust in mankind in these two verses. The first reason is do not trust in princes. In mortal men, there is no salvation. No other person can forgive us of our sins and give us heaven. Only God can do that. We can't save each other. We can't save ourselves. Back in Psalm chapter 49, an interesting contrast in this chapter. Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8 says, "No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever." In other words, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save each other. But then, a few verses later, verse 15, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me, Selah." Salvation comes from the Lord God through Jesus. It does not come from mankind. People who trust false religions will never find forgiveness of sin and salvation. People who trust the government to save them will never find salvation. People who trust each other, we're going to let you down at some point. I lived long enough. When I was born, Eisenhower was a president. Remember him? I lived through Watergate. Remember what Watergate was? It was not a construction of a lock and dam on the Mississippi River. Not at all. It was a big political mess that actually was really minor compared to the political messes we got today. One of the presidents we had was Jimmy Hu. Remember him? Carter, yes. And we lived through the Reagan Revolution. All those guys are dead and gone. And things are totally different. Even the great princes, the great world rulers, they're all gone. They were temporary. As my dad would say, the Lord is still on the throne. God still rules. It's better to trust God than to trust man. So please, don't put your absolute trust in people. That's the second point. The third point gives us some great reasons why we can trust God. Here's a celebration of divine provisions, verses 5 through 10. One of the great hymns we sing is, "O Worship the King." There's a line that goes like this: "Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend." What a great hymn. Reminds us who we can trust, the Lord God. Scripture reminds us over and over and over again from Genesis to Revelation of the greatness of God. Psalms does this exceptionally well, exceedingly well in the five chapters at the end. Praise the Lord, beginning and ending. 44 times, praise the Lord for all he has done and for who he is. In fact, in Psalm 146, the word Lord, which is in capital letters, L-O-R-D, is found 11 times. The word Lord is the word Jehovah in the Hebrew. It's the personal name of God. It's a God who has a personal relationship with people. Remember when Moses said, "Who would I say send me?" And he says, "I am who I am." That's Jehovah. That's Yahweh. A God who has a relationship with us. The Lord is who we can trust. And then the word God is found four times. God is Elohim, the strong one, the supreme ruler of the universe. That's who we can trust. This great God of the universe, He's not only out there, but he's in here. He has a personal relationship with us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. God, we can rejoice in. In fact, as we look at these verses 5 through 10, there are 11 perfections of God, 11 quality characteristics of how great God is. This is his resume. And because he's eternal, there's a whole lot more than just these. But look at these 11 perfections of who God is that we can trust. Let me just go through the list kind of quickly here for you. Verses 5 through 10. Verse 6, who made the heaven and the earth? He is the great creator. Made everything. The next phrase in verse 6, he is the source of faith, who keeps faith forever. The faith that we have that saves us by believing in Jesus, God gives us. We can't create it ourselves. God gives us the faith to believe. The next one, number 3, he's the righteous judge who executes justice for the oppressed. He takes care of all those who suffer. He's the righteous judge. Number 4, he's the benevolent giver. He gives food to the hungry. He takes care of us. He provides for our needs. Number 5, verse 7, also, he's the liberator. The Lord sets the prisoners free. He sets those who are physically prisoners and those of us who are spiritually prisoners. We've been prisoners of Satan and sin, and he sets us free through the cross of Jesus. He's our great liberator. Number 6, in verse 8, he's the great physician. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Again, that's both the physical and the spiritual. We sang Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. He's the great physician. He's also the great comforter. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down, those of us who are depressed and defeated and discouraged. He can lift us up. He's the great comforter and provides for us. Also in verse 8, he's the lover of righteousness. The Lord loves the righteous. He loves us when we do right things for him. He is a compassionate God. Verse 9, he protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. The 10th one on this list, he's the judge of the wicked, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. He completely upsets their plans. You know, sin doesn't pay at all. Charles Spurgeon, one of his great quotes is, "Everything goes wrong with him who goes wrong." And that's absolutely true. God will have the final say over all the wicked. He's the judge of the wicked. And then the last one, number 11 and verse 10, the Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. God is the universal King of kings and Lord of lords. He will not die. He will not abdicate. He will not lose his glorious crown by force. Forever he will reign. Praise the Lord. Absolute perfect God. Again, God is eternal, so there's a whole lot more characteristics of God than just these. But any one of these is enough for us to completely trust the God of the universe for everything that we need, for every issue that we face, for every trial and tribulation we face, through every temptation we face, through every doctor visit we face, we can still trust God. And we can go through all of it and we can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I graduated from high school and from college and from graduate school, each time I received the diploma, I looked the guy in the eye and I said, praise the Lord. I was just surprised I graduated. Now when I say praise the Lord, it's after I survive a doctor's visit. And I had that 3 times this week. Make it through the doctor's visit, and praise the Lord, I made it through that one. But then the dentist said, you need to come back again. We can praise the Lord for whatever we go through, whatever circumstances. 11 perfections of God right here. God is eternal. We can trust him. Better to put our refuge in God than to trust in man. And you know what? Every one of these descriptions is also prophetic because every one of these is fulfilled in Jesus. From the Creator, over in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus is the great Creator. Jesus fulfilled that. And Jesus is also the last on the list, the eternal ruler. Revelation 19:16, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He's everything else in between, plus more. It's all fulfilled in Jesus, our Savior. One of the responsibilities of preaching is to make sure we go right back to the cross. We remind ourselves that God provides all of this for us through Jesus shed blood on the cross. And out of an empty tomb, he gives us life abundant here on earth and life eternal in heaven. And for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's us. We get to believe that. We can put our name in that verse. You know, God loves us. He wants the very best for us. He doesn't want us to perish. All we have to do is simply believe in Jesus as our Savior, and we have everlasting life. And right there is enough to praise God for the gift of salvation. You know, in the New Testament, we are encouraged to continue praise. It didn't end in the Old Testament. New Testament, Romans chapter 15, verse 16, is a quote from Psalm 117. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles." I think we're Gentiles here. How many of you like pork? You're a Gentile. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. "Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which is by Christ Jesus, to the glory and the praise of God." And then Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 13 reminds us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has sanctified us with His blood. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Sufficient for us. That's good enough reason right there for us to trust God completely with everything in our life and to say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord for all the things You have done for us." So in the midst of whatever you're going through in life, and I don't know what you before me are going through, some ups and downs for sure, some good news and some bad news mixed in there, some of the reality things of life that are crushing and heavy burdens, temptations that we struggle with, whatever it is, whatever challenges you're going through and trials you're going through, can you find something to praise the Lord for today? Anything. The very fact that you're here is good enough reason to praise the Lord. You know, there's a great hymn we sing, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and You'll Be Surprised." Surprised what the Lord has done. He gave us breath to be here today. He's given us the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus. He's given us salvation. He's given us eternal life. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. He's given us the Bible that we can read and learn from. He's given us the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide and direct us. He's given us the power to pray. We can take all of our burdens to the Lord. We can pray for one another. He's given us the church, the body of Christ, to provide fellowship, to share the Word of God together. He's given us our families. He's given us our friends. He's given us our jobs. He's given us our health. He's given us the finances to pay our bills. He gives us the nation that we live in so we can freely worship. We can keep on going and going and going of all the things that God has provided for us through Jesus. And He simply asks us, to praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for all that you have done for us. We want to praise you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the things material and spiritual. Thank you for taking care of us, body, soul, and spirit. Thank you for the honor and privilege of just being here today freely and publicly to worship you. And just thank you, Lord, that you opened up your word for us and spoke to us today. Guide and direct us this week. Give us a great week. Provide for our needs. Help us to continue to trust you. And help us to find occasion after occasion where we can lift our voice to you and simply say, praise the Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.